Almost since the beginning, the technologies developed for warfare have eventually benefited peacetime pursuits. The same is true for the injuries sustained by soldiers. Medical techniques developed on the battlefield are resulting in new ways of helping everybody. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are no exception. They've advanced surgery in a way that benefits troops and civilians. Joining us with an update is Dr. John Holcomb, the professor of surgery at the University of Texas Health Center in Houston. He is a former commander of the Army's Institute of Surgical Research at the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Dr. Holcomb, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So if you don't mind, let's take a step back and get a little background from you on the process by which battlefield surgery can help general surgery.
Well, if you go back just, I don't know, 15 years ago, many of the techniques used on the battlefield by medics and by surgeons and all of the nurses and doctors were really derived from the civilian arena and didn't directly translate. Picking up somebody in downtown D.C. in an ambulance is a lot different than picking them up in the middle of a battle zone in some demolished street in some other country.
And so things have changed now. It sounds like there are techniques that have been developed over there in Iraq and Afghanistan that are coming back home here.
Yep, absolutely. You know, as you said initially on the interview, that one of the silver linings of any conflict throughout history has been improvements in medical care, and we've certainly seen that in this war as well.
So give us some examples of things that that we've learned that are helpful to people that have peacetime injuries or domestic injuries.
Yeah, Tom, they run the gamut from very simple devices all the way through systems of care. The examples of some simple devices are tourniquets. Tourniquets have been around for a long, long time, but at the beginning of this war were not carried by medics or by individual soldiers. And as you look at this, they are now carried by everybody and are showing up in EMS systems across the United States more and more and more. And that's really been a sea change in thought. We've received here in Houston 30 civilian patients with tourniquets in the last 2 years and zero before that.
Are we learning more about brain injury, too, particularly traumatic brain injury, even where it would apply to, you know, sports?
Right. So I think that a lot of this emphasis that we've seen on mild traumatic brain injury with concussions and football players is really the spotlight. Obviously, those concussions have been there for a long time, but the spotlight has really been brought to bear by the experience out in Iraq and Afghanistan with mild, moderate, and severe traumatic brain injury. There's been a lot of focus put on this, and that clearly has spilled over in the civilian community.
We're speaking with Dr. John Holcomb, professor of surgery at the University of Texas Health Center in Houston and former commander of the Army's Institute of Surgical Research at the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. So it sounds like you've treated people from battle injuries as well as now in your civilian practice or your stateside practice. And what's your thinking about something I've read, and that is that we can now treat battlefield injuries that almost certainly would have been fatal in earlier conflicts. And so people therefore have long-term issues because they are saved. And how do we deal with that as surgeons and as a medical community?
Right. I think that this is it's a great question, Tom. There is no question in anybody's mind who's been on the battlefield that and looked at statistics from Vietnam, which is our last major conflict, that we're saving young soldiers, sailors, and airmen now that would have died in previous conflicts. I think that's pretty clear. What that means is that the emphasis on evacuation, rapid evacuation of theater, which the Air Force has done a great job with, and then rehabilitation is incredibly important. And we've seen buildings built and staff devoted just to rehab, both at many, many military bases around the country. And that, I think, is a real testament to the will to make sure we provide comprehensive care to those guys who are injured out on the battlefield.
So as a surgeon, that puts you at one time where you were near the end of the process of treatment for someone, that puts you just at the beginning of it.
You know, surgeons, it's interesting. Surgeons have been forward on the battlefield since at least World War II in small mobile units. That activity has been increased in the last 10 years, where we have surgeons and physicians that are very far forward providing immediate life-saving intervention in concert with the medics. And so everybody in this conflict is better trained, farther forward, focused on rapid evacuation out of theater. It's not unusual, as you all know, to see patients back in the United States 72 hours after injury in Iraq or Afghanistan. It's really phenomenal what's been going on.
Can we take it a step further, though, and even think about research into things like, you know, prosthetic limbs and more advanced type prostheses coming out of the conflict, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I think we've already seen that. The research into better ways to stop bleeding with tourniquets, hemostatic dressing, something better than a gauze dressing, different ways to transfuse patients with less of the clear fluid and more plasma, platelets, and red cells, improving survival, systems of care, specific examples with prosthetics. As you said, DARPA and the DOD have put a lot of money into better prosthetics that are controlled not by shrugging your shoulder but with your brain and linking up the nerves that actually grow into the prosthetic device. Amazing examples of care that have been driven, conceptualized, funded, and are actually being applied to civilian and military patients today.
And is there a process by which those who practice medicine of that sort in the military, how that knowledge gets transferred to the private sector into the medical care system for the rest of us? Is there a formal way that that happens?
You know, that's done largely, there's two ways, and this is one that's been documented in papers from World War II and Vietnam as well, is you have academic meetings where the clinicians all get together, both military and civilian, and present papers in societies, and they transfuse data that way. The other one is when docs get out of the military and move into the civilian world and take that knowledge with them, and I think we're starting to see a lot of that happen now, and more of that. So there's a diffusion process, there's an active translation process. We think that's very important because I think everybody expects, unfortunately, that further terrorist activity will occur on our ground back here in the United States, and the hard-won lessons learned out in the theater of war will apply to those civilian casualties that happen after the next terrorist event.